It is nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station here in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where it is mostly cloudy, 39 degrees. Out at the airport, they have northeast winds at 5 miles per hour and 10 miles of visibility. The Weather Service insists that we should be seeing partly sunny skies sometime today with a high near 46, southeast winds to 5. Just a chance of rain tonight between 10 and 1 a.m. with isolated showers after that, and scattered showers for tomorrow with mostly cloudy skies and a high near 47. Coming up on the Midday Report, the ferry Tustamina is back in the shipyard for a week or so. The State Department of Transportation is looking at ways to make the ore haul road safer, especially for school kids. And the city of Sitka purchasing back a property it sold to a seafood processing plant last year at twice the purchase price.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. There are reports of Israeli raids in Gaza today, but still no indication yet that a ground offensive has begun. Israel gave Gaza residents in the north 24 hours to head south, which the UN has said is impossible under the devastation wrought by Israeli airstrikes. In Tel Aviv, NPR's Daniel Estrin reports that after Hamas's brutal incursion last Saturday, Israeli forces have their marching orders to take out Hamas.
Israeli troops are already along the Gaza border, deployed there. And what is Israel's objective? Well, the army spokesman now says we will not live next to a place ruled by a group they are comparing to ISIS. So Israel's messaging is changing. In so many words, it's saying the goal is regime change. After 16 years of Hamas rule, they don't want Hamas rule in Gaza any longer.
Daniel Estrin reporting. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's urging Arab countries to break with Hamas and condemn the Palestinian militant group for carrying out atrocities in Israel. But as NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports, Blinken is also hearing a lot of concern about the Israeli military response in Gaza.
During a stop in Qatar, where Hamas has an office, Secretary Blinken was unequivocal.
There can be no more business as usual with Hamas. Murdering babies, burning families to death, taking little children as hostages. Every country, in our judgment, needs to condemn these actions, needs to hold them accountable.
His Qatari counterpart was asked if he would close down the Hamas office in Doha, but Mohammed Al-Thani says the communication has been useful, particularly when it comes to trying to resolve the hostage crisis. Al-Thani is urging the U.S. to help Palestinian civilians trapped in Gaza. He says collective punishment is unacceptable. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Doha.
A new NPR PBS NewsHour Marist poll shows Americans are broadly supportive of Israel, but as NPR's Domenico Montanaro explains, there are wide generational and racial divides.
The survey of more than 1,300 adults found 65% believe the U.S. should voice public support for Israel. That crosses party lines, but feelings are different among younger Americans and non-whites. 78% of those 45 and older think the U.S. should take a publicly pro-Israel stance, but just 48% of those under 45 said so. 72% of whites want the U.S. to back Israel, but just 51% of non-whites said the same. President Biden has taken a strong pro-Israel stance, and despite majorities saying they want that, the president is seeing no political benefit. 52% disapprove of his handling of the situation, the same number in the survey who disapprove of his job overall. Domenico Montanaro, NPR News, Washington.
Any new U.S. aid for Israel, Ukraine, or any other countries on hold as Republicans in control of the House remain undecided on a new speaker following Kevin McCarthy's ouster. It's now a contest between Georgia Representative Austin Scott and House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan of Ohio. You're listening to NPR News.
NPR News is presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor, llama al 907-481-2400.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. The Tustamina, the ferry that shuttles passengers between communities like Homer, Kodiak, and Unalaska, is laid up in a shipyard in Seward for repairs. Sam Dapsevich is the public information officer for the Alaska Marine Highway System. He says the repairs could take up to a week.
Not something that we can fix while it's in the water, so they're going to haul it out in Seward and evaluate it and come up with a repair plan.
Affectionately known as the Trusty Tusty, crews are looking to replace a rusted and leaking tail shaft on the ferry boat. The Aurora, which serves the eastern Gulf of Alaska, will also be in the JAG shipyard for scheduled repairs this week. Dapsevich says ferries like the Tustamina have a life expectancy of just about 30 years or so, but the boat has been in operation for almost double that time. He says rusted out parts are a major concern for the Department of Transportation.
It's, you know, way beyond what the normal life would be for a ship like that. And so when these rusted steel, or we refer to it as wasted steel, when these kind of issues come up, it's we have to take care of it. We want to keep the passengers safe and make sure that the ship can be out there on the open sea.
DOT is looking to solicit bids for a replacement vessel by November and to award a contract by the end of the year. But until a replacement is ready, staff will have to keep up with the aging boat. The Anchorage Assembly on Thursday approved the opening of a new temporary homeless shelter for the winter. The shelter will be housed in a former garbage utility administration building in the Midtown area and will have the capacity for up to 150 people in a large vehicle storage bay. Beds in the walk-in shelter are expected to be used only if the 372 beds reserved at the Aviator and Alex hotels are full. Those rooms are supposed to open up on Monday. Felix Rivera chairs the committee that focuses on homelessness issues. He had a congratulatory but tempered tone about resolving the last major piece of the city's winter shelter plan.
This is going to be the first time in years that we haven't had a mass shelter opened up in the winter.
The mass shelter at the Sullivan Arena, which opened at the start of the pandemic, closed this spring. Rivera says local data show people have better results when they have a more private space, like a hotel room, compared to a shared space. Rivera says it will be a markedly better shelter system than in past winters because of operational and oversight changes intended to better guide shelter users to stability. The new shelter is expected to be open by November 1st. The State Department of Transportation is taking measures to improve safety along the Kinross-Manchow-Mine-Orhaul route in the interior. Alaska DOT Communications Director Shannon McCarthy says $1.6 million in state funds is covering the cost of putting up signs in advance of two new passing lanes on the Alaska Highway and brush clearing along sections of the entire 240-mile Alaska-Richardson and Steese Highway Orhaul route, where there are over 80 school bus stops.
One of the most important things is sight distance, so that commercial vehicles can see if a school bus is stopped letting off a student or picking up a student.
McCarthy also highlights another effort to address safety in the vicinity of school bus stops.
We're reaching out to the school district to let them know that we have digital alert capabilities so that they could put digital alerts on school buses so that any vehicle that is using a navigation app in their vehicle, like a commercial vehicle, that they'll have that advanced notice that a bus is stopped.
Kinross's plan to run 60 round trips a day with 95-foot-long, 80-ton double-trailer ore haul rigs has generated a lot of public safety concerns. In an effort to improve accident response capability, McCarthy says the DOT is also reaching out to fire and EMS organizations in the haul route communities.
Just to find out, you know, what tools they need, what equipment do they need, and what training do they need. And then we're turning around and working our federal contacts to find out what these different rescue operations would be eligible for in terms of, you know, where is the funding.
McCarthy says the DOT is additionally providing commercial vehicle compliance inspections to trucking companies, including Manchow ore haul contractor Black Gold Transport. She says the agency is getting guidance on all its efforts from a Transportation Advisory Committee, or TAC, charged with evaluating the ore haul route and recommending solutions to identified issues. She notes some urgency to action.
Kinross has indicated that they're going to start the ore haul in the first quarter of the year, and we want to move now as quickly as we can to start addressing these items as the TAC discusses them.
McCarthy says the TAC is expected to largely complete its work by the end of the year. The city of Sitka is purchasing back a property it sold to a seafood processing company last year for more than double its original sale price. While some balked at the buyback plan, assembly members say repurchasing the property is the right decision and a necessary investment for the city's future marine haulout.
In 2022, the city sold the lot and building at the Gary Paxton Industrial Park to a local seafood processing barge company for just over $550,000. Northline Seafoods had been leasing the land from the city, and the option to purchase it for the 2014 appraised value was in the terms of its 2017 lease agreement, provided the processor met a few requirements, like employing at least four people at the park. The lease was transferred when Northline dissolved and became SIAC Logistics in 2021, with all the same terms and rights. When the city sold the land, it retained first right of refusal on the property should SIAC Logistics decide to sell. Owner Ben Blakey notified the city of his intent to sell the property in August. The building was appraised at $1.3 million in September. So now, the question was whether to repurchase the building for more than double what the city sold it for last year. Kent Barkow said the way the lease was handled in 2021 raised concerns.
I, too, have to question the history of that decision to maintain that right to purchase in the reassignment of that lease, and particularly understanding that there was no assembly debate at the time. Wonder, you know, what kind of lessons we could take home. Anyway, it's very disappointing to have something like this happen.
But most assembly members didn't agree. Tor Christensen said that the company had the right to transfer their lease and exercise its terms, and there wasn't much the city could do about that. And over time, the city had benefited financially from the lease.
You know, in a perfect world, it'd be nice to have that land still in our back pocket. But on the other hand, we received approximately $900,000 in revenue from that between leases and sales. At the same time, there's been, a number of improvements to that land. And of course, land's worth more now.
And Assemblymember Chris Yested said it was important to remember that the city was given the building originally when the pulp mill dissolved in the 90s.
And it was a bit of a shell at the time. The city put in some money to finish out the project. And like Tor was mentioning, lots of improvements were thrown at this building to increase its value from that 2014 or 2017 evaluation. Offices, bathrooms, a big boiler that just so happens to be able to work with this washdown pad.
Plans for the upcoming marine haulout at the Gary Paxton Industrial Park include constructing a nearby building with a boiler, bathrooms, and office spaces. Now that this building was available again, it would save them time to buy it back rather than construct a new one. And Mayor Steven Eisenbeiss said the assembly should consider they may not be the only interested party.
We don't buy this building, someone else will. I don't know if there's a line, but I'm sure that there's a line of people behind us ready to buy this building. And then we lose control over a key entity within our haulout.
Ultimately, the assembly unanimously decided to direct the city administrator to move forward with repurchasing the building for $1.3 million. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
If you've seen a student truck driver in the Kenai area, they're likely training with the Kenai Peninsula Driving Instruction. In response to the company's growth, it recently opened a new commercial training center. KDLL's Hunter Morrison has more on the addition and its importance locally.
Opened in 2016 as a training company for first-time vehicle drivers, Kenai Peninsula Driving Instruction is now the only provider in the state where student commercial drivers can get their permit, train, and obtain their truck driving certification. To date, nearly 800 students have completed the company's commercial driver training program. In response to the company's growth, Kenai Peninsula Driving Instruction recently built a new commercial training center off of Kenai Spur Highway. Opened in August, the 4-acre lot provides a larger space to train more students. It also allows the company to perform maintenance on vehicles in-house.
It's beneficial because the building and the yard suits our needs really well.
This is Sarah Dothit, student training specialist with Kenai Peninsula Driving Instruction.
It was specifically designed for what it's doing. And everything's designed for us. Everything can be modified or expanded if necessary. So we have not only room for us now, but room to grow.
The company trains 5 student commercial drivers every week, each receiving one-on-one instruction on the road. With an increased need for truck drivers, owner Alex Dothit says training them is crucial to the success of the peninsula's economy.
There's a huge need in our community for local drivers, and that's what I want to try to fill, is get out those local positions so these other small companies, from gravel work to septic pumping companies to garbage hauling, there's just a ton of work that needs to be happening in our local community. And by having a training provider right here in our community, it makes that very obtainable for a lot of local individuals to be able to fill these needs in our community.
The majority of students who have trained with the company and were not already employed are now working as commercial vehicle drivers. Sarah says that some employers have even hired students on the training yard.
They know our students are well educated and experienced with the training they received here, and they will hire them on the spot to go to drive and provide a lot of these necessary services all over the peninsula. So definitely getting a lot of new people into the workforce, which is necessary right now.
While she says that recent regulations have discouraged some people from seeking a CDL, the company is always happy to answer any questions. The success of local students is the Kenai Peninsula Driving Instruction's top priority.
We want people to see the success of our students because that's what we're here for. We're here to build this business up because every single student that graduates with this big smile on their face, they're so excited. They're, you know, they've got their driver's license or their CDL for the first time. It opens up a world of opportunity for them, and it's amazing and it's infectious when they're so excited at the end.
When I started this business, I knew I wanted to keep it in Kenai.
Again, Alex Dothit, who also serves as a member of the Kenai City Council.
Kenai has a lot of great potential for growth, both on the commercial side of things with what we do and just in general. So I wanted to really show that Kenai is here to help out businesses and grow businesses like ours, and that it is possible to open new business. And that's one of the big reasons I wanted to stay within Kenai.
He added that while commercial driving might not be everyone's forever career, it is always a good fallback. They urge anyone who has ever considered commercial driving to reach out. In Kenai, I'm Hunter Morrison.
Onalaska may be getting its first legal cannabis dispensary, but it's not a done deal yet. City officials say the only thing standing in the startup company's way is proper permitting. Dutch Harbor Cannabis Company was granted provisional approval for a marijuana license by the State Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office in August. Assistant City Manager Margie Veeder told the City Council last month the store is working with the city on the next steps.
The building permit is in process. I think it's pretty close.
Michael Miller, managing member of Dutch Harbor Cannabis Company, tells KUCB the state fire marshal is currently reviewing building plans, saying, quote, "Once our retail space is built out and AMCO has done a site visit, we will be open for business," end quote. Miller says the company plans to hire local bud tenders and that they've already hired an Unalaska resident as the shop's general manager. Recreational cannabis was legalized in Alaska in early 2015. There are currently more than 150 cannabis dispensaries across the state. In 2016, Unalaska voters overturned the city's ban on commercial sales, but no dispensaries have been opened since then. Miller says he expects Dutch Harbor Cannabis Company to open by spring 2024.
Consumers are feeling a bit better. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer with the Marketplace Minute. The University of Michigan reported today that consumer sentiment improved a bit at the end of this month. The index shows that consumers think inflation will average 3.2% over the next year. They're not too far off. The Commerce Department reported today the Core Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, the Federal Reserve's favorite measure of inflation, was up 3.9% in August from the same time last year. It had been stuck above 4%. Core PCE strips out volatile food and energy prices. Consumer spending rose 0.4% last month. That's not all back to school shopping, though. Much of the increase was driven by high gas prices. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer with the Marketplace Minute.
The Kodiak Arts Council welcomes rising four-piece Latinx fusion band Cuarteto Nuevo on their first tour to Alaska. Cuarteto Nuevo merges Western classical with Eastern European folk, Latin, and jazz with an organic feel that packs a wallop and engages audiences of all ages. The performance will be on Saturday, October 14th at 7:30 p.m. at the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium. The Cuarteto Nuevo program was made possible with funding by the Rasmussen Foundation through the Harper Arts Touring Fund and is administered by the Alaska State Council of the Arts. More information and tickets are available at www.kodiakarts.org and at the box office an hour before the show. And there's more. You can join Cuarteto Nuevo and the Kodiak Arts Council today at 4 p.m. for their community outreach, music from around the world, and a body percussion workshop. Get a chance to meet the rising artists themselves and explore the influence of musical traditions from around the globe on jazz, classical, chamber, and world music, alongside a body percussion interactive demonstration that brings samba to life. Sounds like a lot of fun. It's completely free. It will be held at 4 p.m. at the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium Band Room today. Open for all ages. Sounds like a lot of fun. 4 p.m. today at the Gerald C. Wilson Band Room. For more information, go to the Kodiak Arts Council website.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon, and welcome to your Island Messenger for Friday the 13th. It's the 13th day of August. Oh, wait, October, the year 2023. The sun rose today at 8:40. It will set again at 7:10, giving us 10 hours and 31 minutes of glorious daylight, a loss of 4 minutes and 54 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high temperature for this date was 60 degrees, set in 1993. Our record low was 23, set in 1924. Currently 39 degrees, mostly cloudy skies, 10 miles of visibility at the airport. They have northeast winds to 5 miles per hour right now. The Weather Service continues to call for partly sunny skies today with a high near 46, southeast winds to 5. Chance of rain overnight tonight, then isolated showers with an overnight low of about 36, east winds around 10 miles per hour. And for tomorrow, scattered showers, mostly cloudy, high near 47, east winds to 10. Not too bad. Looking at our local tides, we have an incoming tide. Our next high tide here on the east side will be at 2:03 this afternoon and be 8.5 feet, followed by a low tide at 8:15 p.m. of 5/10 of a foot. Over on the west side, your high tide will happen at 2:35 p.m. and be 14.4 feet in Larsen Bay, followed by a low tide at 8:53 p.m. of 1/10 of 1 foot. Mariners, here is your weather forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanat, Kodiak's east side, out to 15 nautical miles. Small craft advisory through tomorrow. East winds to 20 knots for today, tonight, and tomorrow, with 8-foot seas coming up to 9 feet tonight. For Saturday night, look for east wind to 15 knots and seas to 7 feet. Sunday through Monday, northeast 25 with 9-foot seas. Over in the Shelikof Strait, variable 10 becoming east 20 this afternoon, seas building to 5 feet this afternoon in the Shelikof. For tonight, east 20 with seas to 5 feet. And for tomorrow, on our west side, northeast 20, seas to 5 feet. There is still time to register for Run the Rock. It's happening tomorrow. A fabulous Run the Rock with the 5K, 10K, half marathon, or marathon race. You can register online still at kmxt.org. Or better yet, come on into the station right up here next to the high school. Look for the octopus painted on the big dish. And then join us at Bear Valley Golf Course tomorrow for the races. There will be door prizes, post-race barbecue, and the registration includes the coveted Run the Rock t-shirt. So come on in and register for Run the Rock today. Meetings coming up in the Kodiak Island Borough include next Tuesday's meeting of the Joint Building Code Review Committee. They will be having their regular meeting in the Borough Conference Room at 3 p.m. On Wednesday, the Planning and Zoning Commission will be having their regular meeting in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. And next Thursday, the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly will be having their regular meeting in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. All meetings are open to the public, and meeting packets are available on the Kodiak Island Borough's website. Contact the Borough Clerk's Office with questions at 907-486-9310. Notice is hereby given. There will be a Board of Education regular meeting on October 16th, that is Monday, at 6:30 p.m. in the District Services Conference Room, number F140 of the old high school wing. The meeting also will be streamed, and login information is posted in the Kodiak Island Borough School District's website. Look under the Board of Education tab. For more information, contact the Secretary of the Board of Education at 907-486-7566. The AAUW Holiday Bazaar will be Saturday, November 18th this year, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Kodiak High School Gym. If you are interested in having a booth and participating in the bazaar, please contact Kathy. Give her a call at 907-942-3757. Elders Afternoon Game Time is happening on Wednesdays, courtesy of Canna Elder Services. They're doing that at the Kodiak Public Library Wednesdays, 2:30 to 4:30 p.m. It features food, fun, and friends. So next Wednesday, October 25th, Elder Game Time. For more information and transportation for beneficiaries, call 907-486-7352.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.
Hello, Kodiak, and welcome to the October 13th edition of Island Byways. I'm Pam Foreman. Woohoo! There's a bit of a chill in the air this week. Some areas around Kodiak, like the flats, have experienced a pretty tough frost already. If you haven't harvested your gardens and greenhouses, now might be a good time to start. You'll have to judge for yourself, though, because there are too many microclimates in Kodiak to make an accurate frost prediction for them all. But who knows, by next week we could be back in the 50s. Well, one can hope. There is much going on this weekend, starting off Saturday morning with an annular solar eclipse. In parts of the U.S. and further south, the moon will block most of the sun, so that only a ring of fire appears around the edges of the eclipse. Here in Kodiak, we'll see a partial solar eclipse where the moon only blocks part of the sun, making the sun appear to be crescent-shaped. This all happens Saturday morning starting about 8:42 here in Kodiak. By 8:45, the partial eclipse will have reached its maximum, and by 9:25, the sun will be back to looking normal. Remember, though, you should not look directly at the sun without special eclipse glasses. Or, if you want to see an image of the crescent sun, make yourself a basic pinhole projector out of a couple of pieces of cardboard or even paper plates. A fun project for the whole family. Speaking of things for the whole family, come on out to the Bear Valley Golf Course on Saturday for KMXT's Run the Rock. You can choose from a marathon, half marathon, 10K, or 5K to run. Plenty of options for the whole family. You can sign up online at kmxt.org until 7 p.m. on Friday night, or if you miss that deadline, you can sign up Saturday at the golf course for the race of your choice. Hope to see you there. And that's it for Island Byways this week. Have fun and stay safe out there. Thanks for listening.